I invite you to please turn to the book of Acts, the 26th chapter. Acts chapter 26. There are two references I'm going to give to you. Today's message will be a topical message, and we'd like to read these two passages. First is found Acts chapter 26. And then we'll be coming back after the introduction to this text. But Acts chapter 26 verse 14 says, and Paul's giving a testimony of his conversion. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks or the ox goads. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Here's the reason: to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now go, if you would, to 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. One verse here. Paul writing to the church of Corinth says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Sometimes we who have been around Christianity and the church for a long time can get to the place where we have lost the power, if I may say so, or the sense of God's ability. Now, we pray for the lost, but we sort of doubt that they will ever be saved. Now, we extend hope to others about the possibility of change, but deep down wonder if it will really happen. We often conclude that although God can, He probably won't. Well, that's just a negative defeatist perspective, isn't it? But we can get that way. And we even share the gospel to the lost man or woman or boy or girl, but we kind of view it like we do violent crime. Well, it always happens to someone else. God just doesn't use me to lead people to Jesus Christ. And so in spite of knowing that God can change their life forever, in spite of knowing that He indeed has changed our lives forever, we decide that he to whom we're speaking with, well, they're likely not to be changed. Isn't that amazing? But it is a phenomenon that occurs. I ask you, did He change you? Did He not change me? Hasn't He changed the lives of those around you? Then why do we get to that place? What makes us think that He has ceased His operations? Why have we concluded that He will not change someone today? I submit unto you that God is still in the business of changing lives. And so I speak to you a message entitled, Jesus Can Change Your Life. And so you're here today and you're lost, you're outside of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, my life's always been this way, it'll never be any different. Jesus can change your life. Christian, you say, well, He's changed my life, He gave me eternal life, but I struggle with things and it just will never be any different. Jesus can change your life, not just in saving you, but as a Christian. He can make a difference in your life as well. So I believe that Jesus can change your life. Jesus can continue to change mine. And so we want to talk about that today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the privilege of being in your house. And thank you so much for saving us. And Lord, you did give us eternal life, and you made the greatest difference ever in our lives. But sometimes as your people, we tend to think that it is what it is, and our lives are never get any better in our service to you. And that just isn't true. Lord, you can change our lives to the better, and that we might be more faithful and true. And we pray for those here that are lost, that they have the idea that nothing will be any different. And God, we know that you can change their lives just as you changed ours. And so we ask that you today would work in our lives as we think about this subject. And Lord, if there's any of us here today that need changing, that you would effect that change and be pleased to do it today. We just give you the praise and the glory and the honor. It's due unto you and to no other, because you're God. And we just thank you for this time. And we pray your will would be done. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. I want to talk to you today about the concept that Jesus can change your life. Now, I had two readings. One is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Look at that verse one more time. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And what that tells me is a person can become a new person. You say, I've just always been this way. But you can become a new person. Dear lost person, you can have eternal life. Now, we read in this text that the old person is passed away. That word passed away in the text means to be removed. It is to disappear, to vanish, or to render void. Yeah, I know what I was before I was saved, but I'm not like that anymore. Jesus has changed my life, and He changed it forever. Because I was once an old person, now I am a new person in Him. And now that old person has been passed away. And the difference there simply is that terminology that we use, we've been born again. We've been saved. So if you truly have been saved today, I guarantee you there is a vast difference from what you were before you were saved and what you are now. Now, you may not be entirely perfect in your Christian walk and labors, but I know there's a change of heart because the text tells me that if any man be in Christ, you know what? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So if you're in Christ, there is a difference. And who is it that was responsible for that change? It was Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, Jesus can change your life. Now I'll go back to Acts chapter 26 where I began reading. We won't look at all those verses again, but I want to remind you what was written in verse 18. Because Paul's ministry was to go out and to reach the world, the Gentiles unto whom he was being sent. And we read verse 18. Look at it again. Is there change in this verse? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness unto light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And so isn't that a great change? A person who is spiritually blind can now have spiritual sight. I used to be spiritually blind, but now I spiritually see. You that are saved were blind, but now you see. And, a person who had a love for darkness now has a love for the light. It's a change, isn't it? What a great difference God has worked in our hearts. It tells in the text, from the power of Satan unto the power of God. From under Satan's authority to be released to be under the authority of God directly. Wow, that's a great change. What a difference He's made since He gave you eternal life. Well, God is so tremendous in making a change in us. And of course, we find in the passage that a person who's been guilty is now forgiven, that we may receive forgiveness of sins. You that are lost, you have to recognize you've sinned against the holy God. And the wages of those sins is death. And so you have to recognize, hey, I'm guilty before God. And the only way you can be forgiven of your sin is through Jesus Christ. But you can be forgiven. You can see this change in your life. And then we also noticed in the text it says that there was an inheritance among them. They didn't have that inheritance before. Before, their future destiny was in hell. But now they have an inheritance in heaven. What a difference Jesus has made in our lives. And so I submit unto you today that Jesus can change your life. Now I want to use myself as an example of the change that took place in my life. And I guarantee you, my friend, if God can work a change in my life, He can work a change in your life. And so I have a number of things that we want to pursue today. Turn, if you would, to the book of Ephesians, the second chapter. I've already warned you this was a topical message, and it's certainly due to the type of message it is. You can understand why I have to deal with it in that capacity. Turn, if you would, to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. First of all, did God make a difference in me? He did. Back in 1974, God gave me eternal life. And what a blessing it is to have been saved for 43 years. Wow, God has been so gracious to me. But you know, back then, before I was saved, what was I? Well, I was spiritually dead. But now I'm spiritually alive. Here in Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 1. As Paul writes to the church at Ephesus. He makes this statement and he says, "And you hath He quickened." The word quickened means to be made alive. "You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." And so anyone that's lost has to recognize that you're dead in sin. You're spiritually dead. Now, God has to bring you to life. So look down in verse 4. He writes and he says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved." And so if you're lost today, you're dead in sin, but you need to be made alive, but you can't make yourself alive. Only God can make you alive, because by grace you're saved. There's only one way that you can have eternal life, and that's through the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what I say unto you, the great change in me is, when I was 15 years of age, I was lost, I was dead, but God gave me life. Boy, that's a great change, isn't it, to be brought from death into life? And those of you that are here that are saved, you know about that change. You know about that life that you have. And, don't ever forget it. Secondly, and go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I was an enemy, but now I'm a friend. You know, before I was lost, I was an enemy of God. That's what the Bible says. Now, you might be thinking, well, I'm not really an enemy of God. I'm in church today, but I'm not a Christian, and I don't hate God. I don't despise God. Now, the Bible is going to declare something different to you. Because, one, you're dead in trespasses and sins, and then you're an enemy of God. Romans chapter 8, and you read in verse 7, Romans 8, 7, it says, "The carnal mind is enmity against God." Those that are lost still have a carnal mind. It's a fleshly mind. It's the worldly nature. "The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." And what it is man who is lost, man who is still dead, is an enemy of God. That's what that word enmity is. It's a warfare against God. And you will not subject to God. As a matter of fact, that natural man in his condition cannot do so. That's why you have to be born again. That's why you have to have new life in Jesus Christ. Let me read a verse, John chapter 15 and verse 14. And he says, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Now, they were enemies, but now they're friends. Look back into Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. Romans 5, 10. He says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, how much more being reconciled shall we be saved by His life?" You that are lost, you're an enemy of God. You might disagree with that, but the Bible will tell you different. You need to believe the Bible. You're an enemy of God. But praise God, when you come to know Jesus Christ, when He gives you eternal life, when He brings you from death unto life, then you become a friend of God. I used to be an enemy, but now I'm a friend. That's the great change that God has wrought in my heart. Go, if you would, to the book of Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians chapter 1. So, number one, I was spiritually dead, but now I have spiritual life. Number two, I was an enemy, but now I'm a friend. Number three, I was an outcast. I was an alien, but now I'm a citizen and a son of God. Well, that's tremendous, isn't it? Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "And you were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." God has made that relationship right. Look at verse 22. "He's reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." I used to be alienated, but no longer. I am with God. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, back to your left. Verse 4 says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth the Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." A few pages over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Yeah, there was a time I was away from God, alienated from God. I was a child of the devil, but God has brought me into His family. Now, I'm no longer an outcast. I'm no longer alienated. I am a son of God. I have a spiritual adoption into the family of God. That's the change that took place. Ephesians chapter 2, one other verse in connection with this, and in verse 19, he says, "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." How tremendous is it to be an outcast, an alien, but now be received, to have an entrance? That's the change that God brought about in me. Number four, I used to be without hope and without God, but now I know God and His promises. There in Ephesians chapter 2, back up to verse 12. Paul writing again to the church at Ephesus, and he says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers of the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. See that? Verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes are far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ." Yeah, I was dead. I was an enemy. I was alienated. And I had no hope. And I believe, dear sinner friend, dear lost friend, you need to recognize that in this world, outside of Jesus Christ, you don't have any hope. Jesus is your only answer. And there was a time where I didn't have any hope, but Christ made a difference in me. But now in Christ, I was afar off, but I'm made nigh by His blood. Aren't you glad for the change that God brought about in your life? Can you recognize that difference? Then if you would, go back to Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57. Number 5. You know, back then when I was dead and an alien and an enemy and all that, you know what? I didn't have any peace in my heart. But now I do. There was a time I wasn't right with God, and there was an unrest there. Isaiah chapter 57 and in verse 21 says, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." How true is that? "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." Romans chapter 5. Recognize, dear friend, you say, "Well, I have a lot of peace in my heart, and I'm having the best time of my life, and everything's going good." If you're lost, you do not have peace toward God. You cannot. The Bible says there's no peace, saith God, to the wicked. Why? Because you're dead, you're an enemy. There is no peace there with God. And so you need to make that right before you leave this world. You need to be right with God before you step out of this life. Why? Because if you die in that condition, you'll die lost and condemned, and you will face the judgments of and the wrath of God forever in a place called hell. There was a time when I was that enemy, and there was no peace in my heart. There was an emptiness there, a void. And by the way, you can see it very easily in our society, because a lot of people will do all they can to fill that void with all kinds of things of the world. But they're not happy. They have money, they have power, they have all the world has to offer, and they're still miserable. You know why? Because there's no peace with God. I may not have a whole lot, but I have peace with God. I didn't used to, but I do now. Romans chapter 5 says, in verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith." The word justified is a legal statement that we'll be declared righteous. And justification is the terminology, and I like to use the phrase that someone came up with, "just as if I'd never sinned." I mean, we've been declared righteous in the sight of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. "Therefore, being justified by faith," he says, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I'm not worried about hell. I'm not worried about judgment. I'm not worried about the wrath of God. You know why? Because I have peace with God. He's given me eternal life. And there's a peace there. I'm not afraid of death, and I'm not afraid of dying. I'm not in any hurry to get to either. But I'll tell you, I have peace with God, and God is the one that gave me that peace. And He did so when He changed me forever. Remember, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And when He gave me life, I have peace with God. Well, as we continue then, number 6, I'm going to remind you of a very, very familiar passage, but stay right there in the book of Romans. Over in John chapter 3, and we read in verse 18, we're all familiar with John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Well, that's great news, isn't it? That talks about change, doesn't it? But I didn't always have this peace. I wasn't always a friend of God. As a matter of fact, when I was an enemy of God and I was dead in trespasses and sins, I was under the condemnation of sin. That's the point. I used to be under condemnation, but now I'm free. John chapter 3 and verse 18 is the verse I read to you. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Any person outside of Jesus Christ is already under the condemnation of God. You don't have to say, well, I've got to get a little bit worse before God will condemn me. If you're not saved, you are under condemnation. You're under the wrath and the judgment of God. Now, the beginning of that verse says, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. And so up to that point, when I was 15 years old, I was under the condemnation of God. I wasn't a bad kid, well, as far as kids go. I still did my things that were wrong, just like everybody else. But I wasn't out there robbing anybody and stealing from anybody. I wasn't shooting anybody. I was just a regular kid back then. But the fact was, I was lost, I was dead, and I was under the condemnation of God. Condemned. And if I would have died before God gave me eternal life, I'd have lifted up my eyes in hell. And I'd have been justly condemned because of the sin of my own nature and the sin of the things which I had committed. But God made a difference. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. I am no longer under condemnation. So you're there in Romans. You should have stayed there. Look at chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I say unto you, the change that God brought about in me is I'm no longer under condemnation, but I'm now set free. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, notice, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the difference. I am no longer under condemnation. No longer under condemnation. Go back to chapter 6. Point number 7, the change that God has brought about in me, which He can bring about in you, by the way. And if you're already saved, you've been connecting with everything I've been saying because you know it's true in your life. But I say unto you that there was a time where I was loyal unto Satan, but now I'm loyal unto God. You say, well, that's just not true. I'm not following after the devil. Listen to what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. I'm going to read this to you, and then we'll look at Romans chapter 6. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, remember we read in verse 1 a while back that He quickened us who were dead in trespasses and sins, and then Paul speaks a little bit about their history, and it's found in verse 2. He says, where in time past, before you were saved, before that change took place, where in time past, what did you do? You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Do you know what that means? That means every unsaved individual is living his life according to the prince of the power of the air. They're in submission unto Him and yielding unto the things of the world. And just face it, I mean, that's what you did then. That's what you, if you're still lost, that's what you continue to do. You're living after the values and the principles and what you learned out of the world. You're not going to embrace the things of God. I'm giving you clear biblical instruction today. And if you're here and you're lost and this isn't touching your heart, you know what? You're still rendering yourself to the things of the world. And your loyalty is still to the prince of the power of the air. And it's that spirit that works in the children of disobedience, it says. But Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Well, what's the difference now? In verse 11 it says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yeah, my life before I was saved, I followed after the things of the world and the things of the devil. It didn't mean any difference to me. That's all I knew. But when God saved me, He changed my life forever. And He gave me that life. And He made me a friend. And He made me His son. And all my hope that I found was found in Jesus Christ. And now I have peace with God. I'm no longer under condemnation. And I'm loyal to Him. And so it says that we're alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it continues in the passage and talks about, well, as you used to yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, now yield yourselves unto God. I have a different perspective altogether. And then let me submit unto you as you go back to the book of Ephesians again. Ephesians chapter 2. This is the last thing that I wanted to mention in regard to the change that God has wrought in my life. And He's made many other changes. We could go on and on. And since I've been saved, the changes in my life as a Christian. But oh, just to go from being lost to being saved, so many changes. And I pray, dear lost person, this really speak to your heart to know that you can be changed today. God can do this for you today. I used to live for myself and the pleasures of the world and for sin. That's what I used to do. That's all I knew. And I was only 15. But now I live unto God. Just as I mentioned, my loyalty is unto God. Now I live unto God. We just read a moment ago in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 about the contrast and our loyalty. But pick it up there in verse 3. And he says, among whom also we all had our conversation or lifestyles in times past. Here's what we lived after. In the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Before I was saved, you know what my life was dedicated to? Following after the devil. Now, that wasn't a conscious thing, but I know by the Scripture that was true. Because that's what I did. But now that He saved me, and you go back to Galatians chapter 2, back to your left a little bit, Galatians chapter 2. Now I have my loyalty unto God, and it is my desire to live unto God. So I read in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the Apostle Paul making this declaration. He says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. When I was 14, that wasn't true. When I was 15, that wasn't true until God saved me and changed my life forever. Now it's true. I am crucified with Christ. I'm dead, but now I'm alive. I'm alive with Christ. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I submit unto you, God changed my life. And God can change your life today. Let me offer you, and I'm just going to make some scriptural references, but I do invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, just to give you a tip-off here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What I would like to do is just remind you of some biblical characters, some examples who have been changed. And you're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm just going to list these examples in a few verse references. This information is in the outline in the bulletin, and so you can always look these verses up later. But I would remind you of a fellow who was a religious man. He was a fellow by the name of Nicodemus over in John chapter 3 and verse 1. This man was a religious man, and he thought he was all right with God, but Jesus said, you must be born again. You today might be religious, but you're still dead. You're still alienated. You're still under condemnation. Religion's not going to get you to heaven, my friend, but Jesus Christ will. You must be changed. Nicodemus was changed. Over in John chapter 1 and verse 47, there was a moral man. His name was Nathanael. Jesus spoke of him saying, you're a man who has no guile. Talk about a good man among men. Nathanael was a moral individual. But he was still lost and he was dead and he needed new life in Jesus Christ, and Jesus saved him and made that change. So you can be religious and you can be moral and still be on your way to a devil's hell. Do you understand that? But God can change your life. Over in Luke chapter 19 and verse 5 through verse 10, we find a corrupted man. This is a fellow by the name of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And he was a crooked one at that. And because he was very crooked in his tax collection, he was a very rich man. But he met Jesus that day. God saved him and said, Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to your house. And you might be a corrupted individual and your life is just a mess and full of sin. But I'll tell you what, God can change your life. He can make a difference. We find also then in John chapter 4 an immoral woman. Jesus met the woman at the well. And she had had a whole bunch of husbands, and then she was living with this guy, and it wasn't right. Here's an immoral woman, but she came to know Jesus Christ. And so your morals may not be very good. But you know what? God can change you. God can make a difference. I find over in the book of Luke chapter 8 another example, a demon-possessed man. This guy was actually possessed of the devil. And yet Jesus cast the devil out and gave this guy eternal life. Now, I don't know if any of you are possessed with the devil. If you are, God can change you. God can make a difference in your life. Does God have power over the spirits? He most definitely does. But then we also find in Scripture a very wicked man. I mean, I perhaps should not have made a statement of a wicked man and a very wicked man, but old Manasseh, if you go back into 2 Chronicles chapter 33 and read about that guy, Manasseh was the most wicked king that the nation of Israel had, the nation of Judah. And they were so corrupt and so vile that even after God changed his heart and changed his life, he still carried the children of Israel away into captivity for all the sins that that dude committed before. And Manasseh was a very wicked king, but God saved him and changed him. And you might be here today saying, well, I'm lost and I'm just so corrupt. I am so evil. You do not know, preacher, who I am. And I'm just too far gone and God cannot save me. I beg to differ. God can save anyone he chooses to save. Even a very wicked, corrupt individual like Manasseh. He can save him. He can save you, my friend. Now I've asked you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Generally speaking, I mean, I just gave you some biblical examples, but generally speaking, it kind of comes down to this. Look into chapter 6, 1 Corinthians, look at verse 9. Talk about change, and I believe Jesus can change your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not, he says, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. And he could have gone on and on and on, but he stopped at the list. And he says, shall inherit the kingdom of God. These people were lost, they were undone, they were enemies of God, following after the world. All those things which we've described. But notice verse 11, the contrast. And such were some of you. But you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, personally, in my life as a 15-year-old before I was saved, maybe these things were not, I wouldn't be defined by these things, but if he'd have kept on with the list, he'd have hit me somewhere. Fact of the matter, I was dead and I was not inheriting the kingdom of God. But he says, but such were some of you. You're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. And when I was 15, God came, gave me life, changed me forever. He washed me in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, set me apart unto himself, and declared me righteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so all these things that I express unto you today, that God has changed me, it is because God has changed me. He's the one that made the difference. And so I'm one of these, such were some of you. A great number of you are, such were some of you. And you can read verse 9 and you can read verse 10 and you go, yeah, it was me. But you know God saved you and he changed you. Sad thing is, some of you are still in verse 9 and verse 10. Some of you are still dead in trespasses and sins. Some of you are still under condemnation and you are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. You need Jesus. Can I make it any plainer? So I say unto you as I come to a close, you can be changed. If you're unsaved today, outside of Jesus Christ, you need a change in heart and life. You need that change. But you cannot affect that change. It is beyond your ability. You can't make it happen. You can't give yourself life. You can't remove the condemnation. You can't make yourself a friend. You can't do it. My dad and I, we witnessed a long time ago to one guy that he knew, and the guy said, "Well, when I get my ducks in a row, then I'll come to Jesus." You'll never get your ducks in a row. You can't do it. Jesus is the Savior. You need the change. Only He can bring about that change. Jesus Christ is your only hope. Only He can give you eternal life. How will He give you eternal life? Well, the Bible tells us by grace through faith. It's Jesus who was crucified, buried, risen again. He offers eternal life to all who believe. And what you need to do is repent and believe on Him. You need to trust Him as your Lord and Savior. And by God's grace, you cry out to God for mercy. And by God's grace, He'll take you from death unto life, from darkness unto light, from blindness unto sight. He'll take you from under that condemnation. And that void in your heart, He'll fill with the Holy Spirit. And you'll have peace with God. I'm telling you, God can change you. If you'll just surrender to God. If you'll yield to Him. And many of us, of course, we know that we're saved. And God has wrought that change in our lives. But still, as Christians, we go through our lives and we get in ruts and we get in habits and we get in attitudes and all that. We might think, well, it'll never be any different. I want you to know that God can still bring about change in our lives, even as His children. And so that bad attitude, God can change that, dear Christian. And that habit that you're into, God can change that, Christian. He really can, God can change our lives. He saved us. He can certainly change our lives, can't He? So you can be changed today. Two verses I give you in closing. I want to read these to you. Found first of all, Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6 and verse 7. Talk about change. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring the prisoners out of prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. And I was blind, my friend. I was in prison. I was in darkness. And God brought me out. And He can bring you out today. Second text, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 down through verse 5. Paul writes and he says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling of the word of God deceitfully." Some changes went about, wasn't it? "But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hidden to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." He says, we preach Christ. He says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." You know why He did that? Because the people He dealt with, were their eyes been blinded by the devil. And the only one that can make that light shine out of that darkness is Jesus Christ. And so we preach Jesus Christ. I'm different today because of Jesus Christ and what He has done in my life. And I say to you, dear sinner friend today, you can be changed. Would you bow your knee to Jesus? Would you confess your sin before Him? Would you call upon Him for mercy? Ask Him to come into your heart to change you forever and to give you eternal life? See what He does. See what He does. And believe Him by faith. Has He changed your life? He changed mine. He can change yours. Let's stand. Again, O God, I thank You for what You've done in my life and in the lives of so many here. And what You continue to do. But our heart goes out for those that are lost. And Lord, You would, Lord, take them out of that darkness. Cause Your light to shine in them. Lord, bring them to Yourself that they might be saved. So we pray for those that are lost. May Your will be done. We give You the honor and the glory. Just, Lord, accomplish Your purpose. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Numbers 342.